Welcome to Synergy Practices Podcast.
Synergy Practices Podcast, powered by Army Co. Incorporated. We have a red card edition. I'm here with Antonis Alexandris. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And we have a general dentist in Pennsylvania, in a high-rise building, I think about six stories, 2,000 square foot. It's in an interesting situation. She has gone and signed a lease into the space, and they start the drawing. She hired a known general contractor that's a design-build contractor in the dental industry. They've done the drawings. They've got the permits. Apparently, she called us because now she has some challenges, because when they go in there to start the construction, the building is, putting some rules and regulations in front of her, and that causes the contractor to come back and say, well, this costs more. Here is how much the charges are. And now she's confused. She doesn't know if the contractor is causing it, the building is causing it, what the situation is. Mm. That's, in a nutshell, that's what's happening.
Sure.
And obviously, based on your questions, I can, I can answer them to see where you end up with.
Sure.
With your conclusions.
So with all that going on, I mean, let's go through the process. She signed a lease, right? And in the lease, there's typically rules and regs that already exist in that lease. So at this point in time, the increase in costs incurred and being instituted by the general contractor, is that a circumstance that could have been prevented earlier on, or is that something that, they got kind of blindsided with the rules and regs? Because in my experience, rules and regs are already in the lease. I pass that off to the contractor and make sure that they understand it, so that that is also being taken into consideration with their pricing.
So in this case, it looks like the rules and regulations are not in the lease. Mm. The landlord is now putting it in front of the client and asking the client to sign as an addendum, which is strange. The more I dig, the more I find things out, right?
Sure.
Now, I did also go through the rules and regs, and I found out that the building is saying that overtime hours for drilling purposes and doing work that have noise constraints are after 9 p.m. Mm. And it looks like one problem that the contractor is giving the client is that the contractor is saying usually that's after 6 p.m. Mm. I find that myself a problem, because it doesn't matter if I'm working after 6 p.m. or 9 p.m. Overtime is overtime. Mm-hmm. I'm not charging them double overtime.
Sure.
Just because it's after 9 p.m.
Time, right? And a half times too.
That's one, yeah. The second problem with the rules and regulations as I go through them is, maybe the main problem, is the fact that they're saying that the building is post-tension and it needs to be, an engineer has to look at it, approve it, and potentially it needs to be x-rayed. So x-ray, I can understand that it'll cause extra fees, and an engineering company reviewing the drills will cause extra fees. Mm. I don't see overtime costing extra fees. From my evaluation, that's what I've seen.
Sure. It sounds like we have a few red cards here.
That's right.
So one is post-tension building. Another
But I'll tell you, in this case, we have red cards.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this interesting, because in my opinion, I think the client, we always tell client, work with professionals, mm-hmm. right? The client has hired a dental realtor, was work mm-hmm. with a realtor, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. client has gone into a building that actually has done medical before, mm-hmm. right? The client has a general contractor that's done dental practices mm-hmm. or medical practices, right? So in this case, if there is a red card, I don't think the client could have prevented this from happening.
Sure.
from her side.
Right? Yeah, I would agree. I would agree, because, to summarize some of the red cards that I am visualizing here, it's one, it's a post-tension building. Two, it's a circumstance where rules and regs were not provided earlier on, so kind of fault on landlord at that point in time, and having her sign an amendment or even an addendum to the lease, the deal's already been negotiated. That should have been a part of the consideration. And then three, probably the contractor not calling out the fact that there are that this building is post tension and that you're going to incur more costs. So maybe we could start kind of one by one.
Sure.
Maybe post tensions where we could start for the reason that had I been involved, any client that I work with, one of the first questions I ask is what is this building? Is this a post tension building? Knowing that that does increase costs for the client in a construction situation. So can you maybe tell the listeners about post-tension, how it functions, why it causes issues, and why it increases costs for a contractor?
Sure. I mean, post-tension cables, we've had multiple different podcasts done on post-tension. Post-tensions are basically cables that are inside the concrete of the building. They're your structural support. You can't really cut them. You cut them, it'll bust out. It's a major cost. So you know, when you're drilling can be problematic. Like, you have to know where you're drilling in the concrete so you don't accidentally cut it, right? So if it is a post tension cable, chances are you have to x-ray. Very few times you can probably get away with a GPR, or nowadays they have the 3D GPR that, you know, can make you understand things a lot better, but chances are you're gonna have to x-ray. Now, in this case, reading the rules and regulations, I find the rules and regulations saying that if the core drills are over 1 inch, they're gonna potentially require x-rays.
Is that so, width or depth?
No, 1 inch in diameter.
Diameter, right. Okay.
Which, you know, they're gonna have a few of those, because obviously sink lines, they're 2 inches, toilets have 3 inch core drills, right?
Sure.
So there's gonna be quite a few of those. But it doesn't even say 100% they're gonna require x-rays. It does say that a engineer will 100% have to sign off. So they have that part of it. What I find interesting is, I don't know if you've ever been part of any transactions where the building is actually trying to put this new rules and regulations, or the only rules and regulations, as an addendum after the lease you sign. I find that strange that in a situation like this could happen.
Right, right. I in 10 years have never been a part of a transaction like that where it came after the lease being signed. It seems very like a misstep on the landlord's part. And you know, I'm not an attorney, but I would almost look at that as a circumstance where landlord is conditioning the tenant's ability to even move forward based on new information that wasn't a part of the consideration when they were doing the negotiations of the proposal and the lease.
Right.
So I would almost think that the tenant has probably a little bit of leverage here, depending on which attorney you ask. But I think they have leverage to say, you brought this up later, you're conditioning my ability to move forward and progress with construction, and you know, that's a default on landlord. I would think. I would talk to an attorney, but yeah, I think that might be a situation they might find themselves
but,
in.
But the strange part is, if you were a part of this transaction, right? If you are representing a tenant going into the building and the lease is ready, and let's say the landlord does not have rules and regs, do you ask for it? Is there a scenario where you're like, well, it's impossible, what are the rules
and regs? Absolutely. I always ask for the rules and regs for the reason that I know that there's going to be construction, and I know that a contractor is going to have to understand what the rules and regs are so they can properly price. So yeah, I think I would have probably asked more questions at that point in time, like, why, how is there no rules and regs? Are you saying you're waiving your right to mandate rules and regulations within this building because you're missing it, right? So yeah, I would have certainly asked that.
Yeah. So the misstep is what we're saying. We obviously don't know the 100% of what's happened.
Sure.
Right? But in this case, based on what we can see, there's a misstep on the realtor's part. There's a misstep on the landlord's part. Sounds like there's also a misstep on whoever reviewed the lease, the attorney, right?
I think so, yeah.
Somebody should have said something about what's the rules and regs.
Right,
and stuff.
Right.
Now, this thing kind of gets a little bit more complicated, because you're saying that the landlord is at default, potentially.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. Right? I mean, you're introducing something new. You're conditioning the progress of tenants' construction based on something new.
So I got the call recently, maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I've been doing digging into it. The more I find out, the more it becomes interesting, because now this is not a new thing that's been going on. It's been going on for 7 months, right? The tenant has free rent for 8 months is what I'm told, right? So in about a month, the free rent is going to expire, right?
And construction hasn't even started.
And the construction has not started.
Oh, wow.
The construction has not, you know, they haven't done anything to start, right?
Yeah.
But there is permits, right?
Okay.
Which is another problem that the tenant is probably potentially going to face. Most jurisdictions, the permits are good, valid for 12 months.
Hmm.
It's not a big deal. You have to call one inspection before so that, you know, the permits can renew itself and, mm-hmm. and go. But if this tenant does not start and call for inspections in the next 4 months, the permit could also expire, which means now you have to redo the drawings, resubmit. Mm. You have that problem.
Yeah.
Right. And if the lease, the free rent expired, I know I've dealt with landlords and I know how they react to stuff like that. Right. Mm-hmm. They're going to hold things to the contract. They're going to come back and say, you know, you got to pay. And if the tenant doesn't pay, the landlord can also put the tenant on default too.
Absolutely.
So there's a double default here that could potentially happen.
And I'm shocked that it went this long.
Yeah.
I mean, to have signed a lease, 7 months ago and have no progress at all and really no conclusion. It sounds like it's only recently that this doctor said, hey, wait a sec, something's wrong.
Right.
I need to ask around and figure out what's going on. So I would say maybe in that instance, the waiting too long is a whole nother red card that would probably be the only one that I would give to the tenant.
Yeah. I mean, like I see a lot of missteps. Like, you know, look, we've been part of deals where you don't realize a building is post-tension in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely have to understand it during the drawing process. So in my mind, an expert contractor or the, you know, a team that's doing the drawings at some point would have known that building is post-tension,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Not wait until there's permits and now we found out, find out, right? So that was a misstep. There was obviously zero communication between the contractor and the landlord because, you know, the contractor or the person doing the drawings, in this case, it's the contractor, it's design build, right? There are some questions that you got to ask the landlord, right? You got to ask for, you know, the existing MEP drawings. You're asking for things that you're going to have to get from the building.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, either the landlord provided it to the contractor and contractor overlooked it, or the landlord never provided it, or the contractor never asked for it. Mm. But I see a huge miscommunication here to begin with, to start with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part is, you know, I think there's rules and regulation where now the landlord is maybe trying to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. And after the fact. Yeah.
And this is causing the contractor wanting to protect them.
Yes.
And they're saying, well, wait a minute, right? If we're going to have to go through this, we're going to have to charge more.
Yeah.
You know, I think the increased contract value has been about $45,000 or so.
Right.
On top of the original construction cost.
Wow.
That's being increased just because of a new set of rules and regulations.
Yeah, I think you were telling me one of the major increases was the fact that the contractor themselves has a different rate from 6 and then a different rate after 9.
That's right.
Right, which
at least that's what they're representing, right?
I see. Yeah, that's a little
crazy. But you know, when it comes to, I mean, we do this all the time, right? In commercial buildings, you have overtime hours, right? Our biggest concern on overtime hours is not the actual hours or the time, right? It's about having adequate time to finish the work. So I've been on buildings where, you know, I remember being on a building where it was a gym downstairs.
Mm.
And, you know, gyms are open for a long period of time. They open early in the morning, they close late, right? So that building originally was trying to give us like only 3 hours to work.
Mm.
That makes it impossible.
Yeah.
Because with construction, you know, it's not a snap of a finger. You come in here, you work great, you're done, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes an hour to get going.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you at least 30, 40 minutes to clean up.
Right.
So
right.
If I have 3-4 hours, I'm literally working 1 hour, 2 hours a day, right? So
right.
That does not work out, right? Mm. So if an overtime hour is like that, I can see that being a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if overtime hours, instead of being after 6 p.m., it starts at 9,
sure.
And it goes all the way until 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning,
right.
That's plenty of time.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think as a contractor you charge more just because you can't start after 6. That's
right.
A problem that the contractor should probably man up and you know, take the hit on it. If,
sure.
If he is taking a hit on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this case, I think he's taking more of an advantage.
So I guess what's the takeaway? What's the lesson here? It sounds like...
That was my question to you. What's the lesson for clients, for doctors, tenants,
sure,
going into a building that in their case, you know, they're being fed, you know, information, hire experts, hire experts, hire experts. In this case, in my opinion, experts have failed.
Sure. Well, and you know, and this is the hardest thing. I think one, you know, research, and you have to be, you know, your own advocate. And you know, you'd think you're hiring an expert, and so you can rest at ease. But I think at the end of the day, you know, one, everyone's subject to like human error, right? And two, you have to really understand and do your research. And so how can you protect yourself? Well, I think it's not letting go of the wheel entirely. It's understanding, you know, the issues that can be involved in the structure of the building, and asking a ton of questions. And also, the realtor, in my opinion, should have been communicating very well with landlord and the contractor, asking the right questions. This is a post-tension building.
Right.
And, you know, especially once they're going through the proposal or the lease, someone should have caught that there was no rules and regs and called
right.
that out as well.
Yeah, so. And I find that strange. One question before we close this topic, but like as a realtor, you're in the industry, the you know, and landlords usually always have a realtor representing them, right? And commercial realtors know each other. You know,
yeah.
This is a case that I kind of, you know, I'm scratching my head because why can't the realtor call the other realtor and say, look, what's going on? Why are you doing this, right? Because, you know, the realtors would understand that this is after the fact. You're making my client sign something after the fact.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's clear you're causing issues here. What's the deal, right?
Right, right.
Because I've seen stuff like this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've seen stuff like this and... Landlords usually, you know, they want you in the space. They are your partners, technically, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they got to work to try to find a common ground, a good solution for the tenant, right?
Right, right.
So I have to think there's more to it, and I don't know what you come up with that.
I find it odd that no one's really stepping up and getting involved. One, there's incentive all across the board. The realtor representing the client or the tenant has incentive because you only get paid half when you sign the lease. And the other half of your commission when they move in, right? Mm-hmm. So there's incentive right there. Also, the broker representing the building has the same incentive there. The landlord also has a ton of incentive, one, because they spent a lot of hours and money to get through this deal to get it to where it is. And, you know, there's also a tenant improvement allowance kind of up in the air at this point as well. But I find it odd that no one's getting involved. I find it odd that no one's stepping up and saying, hey, what's going on? Why was this brought up after the fact? I don't even know if you really necessarily need to get an attorney involved at that moment. You know, you might want to just have that conversation for free between your representative to the landlord and ask the question, what happened? Why are you giving rules and regs after the lease was signed? And let's work through this so that we can get to the next step.
I agree. I completely agree. You know, I don't think an attorney needs to be involved at this stage. But you know, somebody does need to kind of take control and wrap this up. This should not be dragging on. This has been a Synergy Practices podcast powered by Armenco Inc. Red Card Edition with Antonis Alexandrias. At this time, you can watch us, listen to us on anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere that you usually use. Thank you.